The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Lake Powell has been slowly drying up for years, but in the past 2 years, it's gotten worse. Boat ramps now barely reach the water. Canyons long underwater are now coming back to the surface. The Bureau of Reclamation now warns there's a 1 in 4 chance that the power plant runs dry by 2024. 1 in 4.
This is for real. This is for real.
Water experts say it's a bigger problem than just the dam. The Southwest drinking and farming water comes through Lake Powell, down the Grand Canyon, and into Lake Mead, which is also getting lower.
We're in what looks like a mega drought, our 22nd or 23rd year of drought in the Colorado system.
The river won't dry up completely, although experts say the lower Lake Powell gets, the harder it is to keep releasing water into the river. But they warn we're going to have to find other places to get water.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, there's a mega drought hitting the U.S. We'll talk about that with a very noted meteorologist. Mariologist, meteorologist. We'll get him on a little bit later. Right now, if you're just joining me, I am speaking with a gifted Mariologist, Dr. Mark Mirabali. We're talking about Pope Francis's intention now to consecrate Ukraine and Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We'll take your calls, too, if you want to get in. And if you're on hold, I'll get you on. It's 888-914-9149. Just personally speaking, I think this is a very significant step. It is. I mean, the Holy Father has clearly condemned the war in Ukraine. He's a great promoter of peace. And he's actually dedicated this Friday, March the 25th. And that's a big day. It's the Feast of the Annunciation. You know, we celebrate Our Lady's, you know, acceptance of the invitation to become the Mother of God. And it's also a day that has a lot of other very unique connections. The feast of St. Dismas, the thief who stole, of course, heaven. You know, the good thief, if you will, who hung on the cross. It's a day Our Lady came later in another approved apparition as a reconciler of peoples and nations. It's a day that John Paul II consecrated Russia to the Immaculate Heart. It's a day that he entrusted the world to divine mercy, and the list goes on. Doctor, good to have you back with me today. Thanks so much for being here. I think the Pope's move is not just bold. I think it's timely, and I think in times of war, I mean, there's a lot of posturing and there's a lot of things that we can talk about, but I think the one thing that disengages it faster than anything else is prayer. And I know this consecration is important, and I know a lot of people have questions about it. Why now? There have been 4 consecrations, if my memory serves me right. Is this icing on the cake, so to speak? I mean, we know that the March 25th one was valid. What will this do in addition to the consecration that has already been done?
Yeah, well, those are critically important questions, Drew, and let me start by saying what the Holy Father is showing us in no uncertain terms is that when there's times of challenge for the church and the world, we should turn to the Mother. And really, his whole consecration, which quite frankly I thought you read very beautifully, the whole consecration is presupposing that she is our Mother. She's our spiritual Mother. And that through history, we turn to her at times of great difficulty, and you know the significant times are endless. The great Battle of Lepanto, the victory of Vienna in 1683, even the Philippines more recently, you know, in 1985 when they, you know, a million people praying the rosary in the square of Manila, and the tanks were ordered to be fired, but they saw a silhouette of Our Lady. This is just plain Catholic history. In times of challenge, the church turns to the Mother. And that's what the Holy Father is doing here. Mm-hmm. And he has a beautiful, once again, it's 10 paragraphs long. And there's 20 titles of Our Lady in those 10 paragraphs, at least 20 references.
Right.
And it's all, you know, Our Lady Guadalupe, Our Lady Undoer of Knots, Queen of Peace, Queen of the Human Family, Queen of the Rosary, Our Lady of Fiat. So this is all saying she's the one we turn to. Now, why do we have such clarity about that? Because of the history of the Church and also Fatima. Literally, at Fatima, she says, you know, I alone am able to save you from the calamities that approach. She says it at Fatima. She says it in the church-approved apparitions on Akita, Japan, which you and I both have talked about many times. You visited, you did a documentary including mm-hmm. that.
Yep.
which even portends, you know, fire falling from the sky. These are very, very intense messages that call for Our Lady's intercession. So I think the first thing we have to take away from this is he's doing it right. He's turning to the mother. He is using the word consecrate. He's consecrating the whole world, and especially in the text, Russia and Ukraine. So that is a, you know, that's a consecration on steroids. And icing on the cake, I would not at all, I wouldn't use that metaphor at all. I would say expect a, although, you know, you still keep your cyber doctorate in Mariology,
well,
Drew. I'm not going to yank that just because of one, you know, questionable metaphor. But historic is, I think, the right term, which you also used. It's going to be a historic release of grace. Once again, as we talked about last week, don't expect the world to be in total peace by Saturday. Because grace has to work through us. That's heaven's constant challenge, is that grace has to work through free human beings. But there will be a historic release of grace, and I think soon we will see the effects of what Pope Francis is going to do on Friday.
Let me do this. I want to open the phones. I know a lot of people may have questions. You know, you might have a question about consecration. You might wonder, hey, hasn't it already been done? You might think, it might be that Father Gruner camp, thinking it's never been done, it wasn't done properly. We're more than glad to take your calls, your questions, look at this spiritually, what it means for the future, and so much more. Why consecrate? Why is that important? Anthony is listening, and he's been waiting for a while in Bullhead City, Arizona. Anthony, good afternoon.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, Doctor. Thank you, Drew.
You're welcome.
Question for you. Why wasn't this consecration done earlier than 26 or 27 days into the war?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, depending on whether you're talking about, you know, a consecration could always have been done, you know, even as there were rumors of war. It's a hard call, though, I have to say. You know, the fact that the Ukrainian Latin Rite bishops asked the Holy Father to consecrate, I think, gives him a strong impetus to do so. Because, you know, the Holy Father is the Vicar of Christ, but he's also not a micromanager. And so when the local bishops are inviting him to do so, that gives him special license to make that call. You know, hindsight's always a little 20-20. We could say, well, why not the third day or the seventh day? But I think, quite frankly, providentially, the fact that he's doing it on March 25th, on the 30th anniversary of John Paul II's consecration of the world, inclusive of Russia, I think there's a great fittingness to that. It also gives time for other bishops to join, which adds to the power. We know that because of what Sister Lucia said. So I myself am very grateful that he is making the response to that request of the bishops from Ukraine. And I think March 25th is a perfect date for that.
Yeah, it is. And let's talk about March 25th. Hey, Anthony, thank you. I know you waited a long time to get in. Before I go back to the calls, I just find the 25th fascinating. I have a friend who was listening to the show one day. The Miracle Hunter sent me a tweet, and he said, he says, I heard you guys say that there are more apparitions on the 25th. They began on that day than any other. And I had he says, I found that hard to believe. But then I went back and I began to look, and I'm like, you know what? You're right. That probably is the case. A friend of mine, I think you know Bob Ott. He's one who shared that with me, Mark. But then I thought about the 25th. John Paul II did an entrustment to the world to divine mercy on that day. You know, we know it's the anniversary of the thief who stole heaven. We know that John Paul did the other Fatima consecration on that day. We had Our Lady Reconciler People and Nations apparitions in Bethania on that day. It goes on and on. But you also pointed out something else in church tradition. You said it might have actually been the day of the crucifixion as well. Bring us back. Why is this day so significant?
Yeah, Drew, there is a minor but a significant patristic tradition within the first seven centuries of the church that March 25th was both the day that Mary says yes to bring the Redeemer into the world, and also it was the date of Good Friday. There's a wonderful Catholic documentarian who's done a nice tracing of the patristic texts on this. And in fact, even the author of Redeemer in the Womb, who Anglican theologian who became a Catholic priest, has done a wonderful job documenting that as well, Father John Sayward. But how massively appropriate, right, that the day that Mary brings the Redeemer into the world, she says yes. And that's why Mother Teresa said, of course she's the co-redemptrix. She gave Jesus his body. His body is what saves us. That would be the same day that Jesus offers that same body in crucifixion for the sins of humanity. And Our Lady, as John Paul II would say, gives her second sorrowful yes. And that's her yes at Calvary as the co-redemptrix. John Paul II again says her role as co-redemptrix at Calvary did not cease with Calvary, with the glorification of her son. So it's of no little wonder that March 25th is such a great day. Many apparitions, the reported apparitions of the Lady of All Nations started on March 25th. The Apostle of Holy Motherhood started on March 25th. There's a litany of those days. Why? Because it's the day of yes, Drew. That's what it is. It's a day of yes. Why is it such a great thing that we all renew our consecrations, even if it's just a brief renewal on March 25th? Because it's the day of yes. Great spiritual writers have said all of Catholic spirituality, all of it, from the Dominicans to the Carmelites, to John of the Cross, treats, are contained in the words of Mary. Be it done unto me according to your word. So it's a great day to give our fiat. And that's why I think it's a great day that Pope Francis is going to give his fiat, his consent in consecrating the world, especially Russia, Ukraine, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
All right, let's go back to the phones, take another call. Mary Alice is listening in Columbus, Ohio. Mary Alice, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. This is absolutely remarkable. I am so overjoyed about what this is going to bring about. I hope it brings about all good things.
Amen.
I have a number of friends here. I have more non-Catholic friends here in Columbus. I'm a long way from home. And I have more non-Catholic friends. I'm wondering, should I even bother? Or how, if I do, should I talk with them about the significance of this, the consecration to, you know, to our Blessed Mother's Immaculate Heart? Is it worth taking the time?
Yeah, and, you know, that's a great question. I'm sorry. Yeah, I was just going to say that's a great question, and I just had a student ask that the other day. How do you explain this to a non-Catholic Christian? Yeah. And the way we explain it is really as the Holy Father lays it down in the consecration prayer, that this was a gift that Jesus gave to each human being from the cross when he said, "Behold your mother." And so Jesus is giving every person, especially every Christian, everyone who wants to be a disciple like John, he's giving his personal gift, the gift of his mother, to each one of us. And that's why the Holy Father on Friday will be invoking Mary to do with Russia, Ukraine, what she did at Cana, which is to intercede for a miracle of grace, because she knows that Jesus will listen to her intentions, because she does nothing that doesn't serve Jesus. So I would use the two verses of John 19, 26, 27, the words, "Behold your mother," that's to all of us. And secondly, what she did at Cana, that she interceded for a miracle for great wine. And Pope Francis says, we're running out of the wine of hope right now, and we need more of that wine. And that's why we're turning to the mother of Jesus to bring this cause to Jesus. And we can expect miracles because he responds to his mother's requests.
All right, Mary Alice, thank you. Thank you so much
for
joining us.
Yeah, that sounds great. Okay, thank you. God bless you.
Only a moment or two. Lots of Dr. Miravalli, but if you want to join us, it's 888-914-9149. And, of course, we were talking about the news today. The consecration prayer has been released to the world. It will be recited this coming Friday. Relevant Radio will give you live coverage. I'll anchor that along with Father Rocky, and we'll go live to that feed. So you'll be in union with the Holy Father. Of course, his papal envoy will be in Fatima, Portugal at the time, and we'll be united with bishops and parishes and faithful the world over. As Dr. Miravalli and I are pointing out, I think it's significantly historic. I think it's spiritually historic, and I do believe great graces will flow as a result of this. Doctor, Sister Lucia, one of the three seers, she was the one who I think lived to be 98. You met her, didn't you? You had a chance to meet Sister Lucia, right?
I did. It was a tremendous grace, and it was on the day where the announcement was made that they were going to release the third secret of Fatima. This was on the beatification of Jacinta and Francisco. I can say she was also a clear supporter of the fifth Marian dogma of a solemn proclamation of Our Lady's role as spiritual mother. And I found it so encouraging, Drew, that the whole foundation of the Pope's text is the fact that Mary is the spiritual mother of all people. That's why we're going to her. That's also why I think the prayer of the Lady of All Nations, which, by the way, many people throughout the world, I'm happy to report, are praying a novena prayer using the prayer of the Lady of All Nations to have the optimum graces happen on this Friday as well. And I couldn't more strongly recommend it. It's a, you know, as we have talked about many times, it's a 30-second prayer asking Jesus to send the Holy Spirit into the hearts of all nations to prevent degeneration, disasters, war. What could be more appropriate for preparing for this great consecration than that prayer? So I think, yeah, these are times when we need a new Pentecost. And I don't think any true Christian would want to not have a new descent of the Holy Spirit, especially as we need it today, and we need it through the intercession of Mary. She was there praying for the first Pentecost. She's the appropriate one to pray for this one as well.
It's beautiful. And that is a powerful prayer. It's one that I pray every day. If you want to pray it with us, I know it's only three sentences long. Why don't we pray right now, especially in this very turbulent time? I have a monitor on in my studio here, and I see bombs blasting in Ukraine, and we know the tremendous division that we're seeing in the streets of America on so many different levels. Let's call upon Our Lady to protect us from degeneration, disaster, and from war, Doctor. Would you lead us?
I'd be happy to. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Father, send now your Spirit over the earth. Let the Holy Spirit live in the hearts of all nations, that they may be preserved from degeneration, disasters, and war. May the Lady of all nations, the Blessed Virgin Mary, be our advocate. Amen. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
A lot of people ask me where they can get that. Is there a place somebody can, you know, recite that prayer? It's simple and it's short. You can memorize it pretty quickly, but...
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people are now praying it after the decade of the rosary, you know, each decade of the rosary. Yes, we are happy to send it out free of charge to anybody who would like it in whatever quantities you can use. If you can email us at mary@motherofallpeoples.com, that's mary@motherofallpeoples.com. And for those who don't prefer internet or email, you can give us a call, 740-937-2277. If it's possible to put it on Facebook or Twitter, Drew, that would be very helpful because we're very happy to send. You just have to call, give us your name and address, how many prayers you want, and we're happy to send that to you because it is a prayer really anointed by the Spirit for this time when we're facing moral decay and natural disaster and war in frightening degrees. So it's invoking Our Lady precisely to prevent those.
Yeah, I'm very hopeful. I really am. I mean, there was a moment of trepidation when I heard about Vladimir Putin threatening nuclear use, and we saw NATO getting involved. And I thought, man, this could really snowball. It can, a spark can create a blaze. I mean, this can just roar out of control. And then I heard about the Holy Father consecrating Russia, his intention to do so. And I'll tell you what. I could not tell you how much peace that brings, not just to me, but I think it should bring peace to the world. I really believe divine protection, maternal protection, is going to envelop this planet. And we're going to look back just as we did at that March 25th, 1984 consecration and say, wow, look what happened in 89. Look what happened in 91. We're going to look back and see some very significant changes. You know, Our Lady had said in Fatima to the seer, she says, if my requests are heeded, this is back in 1917, Russia will be converted and there'll be peace. If not, she will spread her errors throughout the world, causing wars and persecutions of the church. Man, we're seeing that today, right? She said, the good will be martyred. We saw that. Boy, we saw what happened in Russia with Stalin and so many others. The Holy Father will have much to suffer, and various nations will be annihilated. But then she says this, the final part of the message, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. The Holy Father will consecrate Russia to me, and she shall be converted, and a period of peace will be granted to the world. I said earlier, you know, Sister Lucia said we are in day three of the Fatima week. That vision took place in 1917, so this story is still being written. We're still making our way through that week. What do you see happening, Doctor? Are we on the eve of this great period of peace that the Virgin prophesied, foretold? Do we see the triumph of Immaculate Heart? How do you read the winds, if you will?
Yeah. Well, Drew, you know, I want to refer to, again, I think you're bang on with this concept of understanding grace brings conversion. Grace changes history. It really has that power. And, you know, Sister Lucia in 1985 said that because of the consecration of 84, we avoided a nuclear war. Now, that's either a sister, you know, sitting in her convent with not enough things to do to invent things, which I would not at all encourage, or it's the sister who has received the whole Fatima message confirming that the 84 consecration saved us from a nuclear disaster. You know, we get used to that word nuclear a little bit too easily. Mm-hmm. Nuclear disaster means millions. In the message you read, Drew, the one thing that most agree has not yet taken place is the annihilation of nations. There were changing of borders during the world wars, but there was never the annihilation where there was no longer a nation there because of total destruction. So I think the grace of Friday will be powerful. The need of conversion and purification, I think, will be ongoing. And both of those can coexist because these are great graces, but we have to respond to them. So I think better to focus on what's going to happen Friday and to be assured that, as you say, expect historic release of grace for the situation of Russia-Ukraine, but also in light of our own caller from last week, our need. You know, our need in the United States, the need to stop abortion, the need to stop the many forms of immorality, the godlessness, the new atheism, the rejection of traditional marriage. We stand in great need of conversion as well. And that's why, praise God, that Pope Francis is consecrating the entire world, especially Russia and Ukraine. We can use the graces as well.
Well, I love it. Well, Doctor, I'm always grateful for your time. I really am, for your insight and for all the offer. I know it's going to be a momentous day. Where are you going to be at that time? You're going to be in church? You're going to be in prayer? What are you doing?
Well, I'm flying back. I typically fly up to teach at Franciscan University. I'll be flying back to Ave Maria University in the morning, and I will be in church 11:30 my time, which is Eastern time. Hoping that coincides with the 5:30 consecration in Rome.
If I was
and God willing, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, if I wasn't on air, I'd be before the Blessed Sacrament, praying big time for this as well in unison. But go ahead, Doc.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, maybe I'll be in the back pews with Relevant Radio quietly on my phone, so I can get the best of both worlds. Anyway,
we'll
be united spiritually.
I love it.
Thanks, Drew.
Popping those earbuds and spend time with the Lord. I love it. Hey, Doc, thanks. I appreciate
my pleasure
talking. We'll catch up soon. That's Dr. Mark Miravalli. And again, you can check him out. The phone number is 740-937-2277 or email him, mary@motherofallpeoples.com. Historic, significant. It's going to have profound spiritual impact on the world and the church. And you and I are living in it. We're going to participate in it. What a great day. Join Relevant Radio. Join Father Rocky and I. We'll anchor that event live for you. When I come back, I'll be speaking to a very gifted meteorologist. Deacon Tom Mahoney joins me. I'm going to take a look at what's happening here in our own country. The West is under a mega drought. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Now.
On Relevant Radio.
Right now.
On Relevant Radio.
Yeah, you know, we pray for world peace. That's important. We need to pray for our country, too. Not just our leadership, not just for the economy. We need to pray for God's mercy on our nation, from sea to shining sea. There is a mega drought underway. I've been reporting on this for a while now. Continue to monitor, if I can get the word out of my mouth. I've been monitoring what I think is a, is a problem that there's going to be a lot more conversation about. I always try to be a little bit ahead of the curve on what I bring to you. Water availability is a huge concern right now, and the West is under a multi-year drought, and it's expected to continue, if not worsen, in the coming months. NOAA, which is the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, announced that for the second year in a row, we're going to have this prolonged drought in the West where we're going to have below average precipitation, and we're going to see numbers continue to drop. There was a study that was done, and they looked at a period from the year 2000 to 2021. Pretty big snapshot, right? That was the driest in 1,200 years for the West. It's over a millennium. Think about that. The driest in 1,200 years. Last year's drought severity, they dubbed exceptional is the term they used. The water availability is a huge concern right now in the West. You know, we have all these wildfires out there right now. There's a need for precipitation, so we need to pray for rain. Just a little side note, St. Faustina prayed for rain. She prayed the chaplet. She got it. Great story in the diary about that. But years of low rainfall, more intense heat waves have fed directly into this multi-year unrelenting, if you will, drought and these water shortages. And there are going to be water wars between certain states. The drought has pushed reservoirs in the West to just alarmingly low water depths. And they're stressing now, systems and communities in the area there. In fact, Lake Mead, which I've talked about in the past, and I could talk to you a little bit more about that, the largest reservoir here in the country, it has dipped below a critical level last fall. It triggered unprecedented water cuts in states all across the South and in the Southwest there. So beyond the West, and I don't want to just talk about the West, conditions in the South, particularly Texas, they've worsened in recent months. 90% of the state now in drought, according to the latest U.S. Drought Monitor. That shocked me. I've got a daughter who lives in Houston. I'm thinking, 90%? Really? So scientists say that this the recent drought is just a preview of what's to come, and not just for the U.S., but for the rest of the world. So what looms in the future? That's the question I raised today. And who better to address this than a man who spent 42 years as a meteorologist in the Green Bay area. He understands this well. Always good to speak to Deacon Tom Mahoney, and he joins us this afternoon. Deacon, good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon, Drew. How are you doing today?
I'm well. Probably not as good as you. I understand you're in Hawaii right now, so I'm a little jealous.
It's beautiful. And witness the Lord's creation here and look at the beautiful mountains and the ocean waters. It's tremendous. But speaking of ocean waters, there is a, not to end the drought, but there is a thought that we should perhaps use ocean water, desalinate it, and then use it for needy water for farms and our homes and things of that sort. And I was a little surprised when I read up on this, that they're thinking of building these plants in Mexico, kind of right across the border from the United States. But that's one method of getting water. My wife and I had the privilege of being out to Lake Mead and seeing the Glen Canyon Dam. And it was a tour group, and we were all shocked at how low the water was. We would see piers that went out that not that long ago had boats tied up to them, and they're 100 yards away from where the closest water is. So it is something extremely serious, and there are various ways of abating it, but you can't depend all on one.
Yeah, that's so true. I'm fascinated by the water salination program. I mean, that's a great idea. I know, you hail from Green Bay where you lived for, a very long time. You're next to one of the largest bodies of fresh water. And you may not be able to answer this. Yeah. You're a meteorologist, but are they looking at tapping into any of those natural resources that we have, like the Great Lakes?
They are. However, very strong resistance is being put up.
because it is fresh water. And the city of Green Bay, for instance, does get their water from Lake Michigan, and they pipe it in whatever that 30 or 40 miles is from that lakeshore inland. I did live for a while in Oklahoma, and that's probably where I got most of my knowledge of hydrology was being there. We lived there for 7 years. But I was kind of shocked the first time I was driving on the interstate there, and it says, don't drive into smoke. Wow. And I thought, well, why would there? Well, there's grassland, a grassland fire was occurring there, something that we don't have in the Great Lakes states. We may have the blizzards in the wintertime, but this dryness is as critical if you want to look at it that way. And you were talking, Drew, about the desalinization. A couple of negatives to that is, one, the expense that it would take in the neighborhood of, and I don't know why, $100 million a year to run those plants, give or take something. I would see the biggest negative is, what do you do if you take the salt out of the water and you do that and you have nice fresh water, but then you have a pile of salt, and what in the heck are you going to do with that? Yeah. You know, put it back in the ocean. Well, then that'll make it harder the next time.
Yeah.
Because so there are some thoughts. Basically, an aircraft carrier is a desalinization thing, and they use the nuclear energy generated by the onboard generators and power supplies, but they can take those salt water, desalinate it. And everybody on board the carrier ship 4,000 or 5,000 can be taken care of. But in the Southwest, we're not talking 4,000 or 5,000. We're talking millions people. So one other interesting fact I came across, and it was like, did I read that right? And I reread the sentence. I even took out a marker and circled it. And that is that the water usage has actually dropped a little bit, but it is because people, you and I, our families, our individual houses, use less water than a farmland would. If you had acres and acres of, let's just say, strawberries, they would have to be watered regularly to produce the berry. Well, that uses much more water than families do. And what's happening in Arizona and other states, Texas, getting over to Florida, but and there is a drought condition there as well. But in any case, people use less water than farmland. So even though the population has gone up, the water usage has dropped a little bit. But we have to pray for rain and snow in particular. So when you see these reports in the wintertime, oh, this pass or that, the Sierra Nevada, it's good that they are having snow. Now, the hopefulness is that it won't all melt at once. But NOAA, who you mentioned before, put out a three-month advisory, if you will, and we'll have above normal temperatures. So the snowpack, we don't want to melt quickly because that would lead to flooding. So it's a very complicated program. I would like to see us depend on us and not necessarily build a plant in Mexico to take salt out of the water, but that's my, into politics there.
No, I'm with you. I have a producer who lives in Minnesota. He told me they've had below average snowfall this year, and I'm assuming it's the same way in Green Bay, because you're right over the border there. So
it is, but I kind of have to laugh. As a former meteorologist, now retired from that, I look out the morning or the window in the morning with awe when I see snow cover or whatever. So earlier you mentioned that I'm coming to you from out in Hawaii. And by the way, I plugged the St. Teresa's Church. They have a big banner on Relevant Radio on the outside fence of the. But in any case,
St. Teresa's.
in any case, we got here, we left the Monday before Ash Wednesday. So that was late February. And I'm returning Holy Week back to Green Bay because of my diaconal duties.
Right.
So people say, well, Deacon, what did you give up for Lent? and I gave up the month of March in Wisconsin.
That's a tough one. Oh, a lot of grace there.
Yeah. It is, but I don't know how that leads to the almsgiving prayer and fasting.
I know, that's
so
funny.
I fasted from snow.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, I like snow. I have no problem with it. The thing about the Green Bay area, which I have lived, you know, I'm born and raised in the Philadelphia area. And, you know, you'd maybe get a white Christmas if you're lucky. And, you know, January, February, you got your snow. Come March, it kind of warms up a little bit. April, showers, May, flowers. Green Bay, you know, you always get a white Christmas pretty much, and then that snow doesn't go away. I never forget 2 or 3 years ago when we had that blizzard of the century, and for 3 days there were blizzard conditions. I think 36 inches of snow fell. I often said that if I had a heart attack, I would be dead because I couldn't even get out my driveway. It was insane. But the people of Green Bay and just that whole area is such a wonderfully anointed place. Of course, we have the National Shrine of St. Joseph and Our Lady of Good Help there, and a great bishop, and I enjoyed my stay very much in that area. Hey, Deacon, let me ask you about something else. I don't know where you stand on climate change. I believe climate does change. You know, what contributes to it is another part of that conversation, but I was reading that U.S. scientists found that droughts occur, they say, only like once every 10 years or so on average. I was surprised at that. Now they're saying they're happening more frequently due to this climate change. What's your sense on that?
Right.
What's coming ahead in the future? One of the sources that I had referenced earlier, scientists believe that, you know, yeah, you're having a mega drought in the West. This is not going to go away. In fact, other parts of the world and other parts of the country are going to continue to see these, you know, severe swings. Your thoughts on all that?
Okay. First of all, weather is getting more and more changeable. It used to be, we'd have almost a 22-year cycle. And you go back and you look at the Dust Bowl in the 30s, and then 20-something years. And in the 50s, there was quite a bit of drought. Then you go into the 70s. And so you used to be able to just kind of predict it based on that. And in fact, a friend of mine I got to know when I lived on the East Coast in Norfolk, he was a peanut farmer, and so he was very attuned to how much rain or whatever, and he was a big proponent of these cycles. However, whether it's people, and I suppose it is, we're kind of abusing the environment, if you will, and in doing so, then we as people can alter it. I don't think to the point where that would be the end of the world, but it's the kind of thing where we have to be more attuned to doing well with our environment rather than just abusing it. Something as simple as combining errands if you're going out to the grocery store, the hardware mm-hmm. store, and the cable company. And the reason I say that is I just did that trip yesterday or the day before. And combine the trips rather than, okay, yesterday I went to the hardware store and back. Today I'm going to the grocery store and back. Well, yesterday then I put 18 miles on my rental car.
Wow.
Or if I went out and did individually, I would have well over 20 or 30 miles.
Yeah.
So it's thinking, how can I better improve? I saw a story on, I guess it was CBS, where this guy could drive a car over 100 miles per gallon of gasoline.
Wow.
I could never do that. But, you know, he coasts on the way to stoplights, slowly accelerates. I tell you, that every Chicago driver
in
the area of the country, I think they're all out here.
Yeah,
I'll be at a traffic light, and boom, they it turns green and they take off.
That's hilarious. Deacon, hold the thought for a minute. I have to take a short pause. When we come back, there's a call I'd like to get on there. They want to ask about chemtrails. I think that's an important question because you see these striations in the sky, whether they're from a plane or whether they're just a natural phenomena. A lot of people have some conspiracies about chemtrails too. So Jennifer in Eden Prairie, you're on deck. We'll take your calls. If you want to join us, I only have the Deacon for a few moments. The number to get in, 888-914-9149. You can call right now. We're talking about the West's mega drought, the weather, and more. I'll be right back. Stay with us. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Your life connected. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for being here. I love hanging out with you. I really do. So much fun. So much, I don't know, it's a joy just to take a look at life through the eyes of our faith and really examine those things that impact us. You know, weather, drought, the climate, whether you're talking about nature or whether we're talking about something spiritual like the consecration that'll be done this weekend or this Friday by the Holy Father. Always good to have the opportunity to share with you. I'm joined this afternoon by Deacon Tom Mahoney. Say a prayer for him. He spent about 42 years as a real staple in the Green Bay community as a meteorologist, and he joins us today. We invited him just to give us a look at what's happening globally and nationally with the weather and where it could lead. And Deacon, we'll take a few quick calls for you. I know I have a couple minutes here, and we'll go to Jennifer. You know, so often, you know, we hear these comments about chemtrails, and I think there's a logical explanation for these, but let me get her in because I'm not sure what her comment is. Jennifer in Eden Prairie, thanks for joining us.
Hi, yes. Thank you, Deacon, for being on the show. I wondered if you would consider looking at a website called geoengineeringwatch.org. And if you are familiar with chemtrails, they are very prominent in the Minnesota area. I travel back and forth from Robbinsdale to Eden Prairie, and I see them daily, not today, because it's cloudy and rainy.
Mm-hmm.
But just wanted to know what your thoughts are.
All right. Hey, thank you, Jen. Appreciate it.
Okay, Jennifer. One of the good things, if you want to call it a good thing, out of the horrible tragedy of September 2001 was by the president grounding everything. I think we're talking about the same thing. I've often referred to them as contrails. Mm-hmm. There were none then anywhere in the country, so scientists could actually research and see, is there any change with or without? And you couldn't normally do that. I mean, it'd be impossible. For that period of 48 or 72 hours, whatever it was, there was not one in the sky. Like I say, if it's what I'm thinking you're talking about, it has to do with the water vapor, where the planes fly at around 30, 35,000 feet. Mm-hmm. And now why sometimes you see them, sometimes don't, that I can't answer. Right. But I was starting to write down the website. Could you give that to me again? Geo what?
geoengineeringwatch.org.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good. We'll check it out. Jennifer, thank you. You know, there's been talk about the ability to change weather, seeding clouds, so you can bring rain to areas that, arid. And I don't know a whole lot about chemtrails or some of these contrails. I always thought that they were the result of either an atmospheric phenomena, something to do with the clouds, or they were the result of the exhaust of these airplanes. But I'll have to check that site out as well. Deacon, maybe we can talk about it in greater detail.
Okay.
Let's go to Middleburg, Florida. Sue, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
And I'd like to also say I've been praying for your hip discomfort since you had your fall that you told us
Thank
about.
Thank you.
And I get better soon.
Let me just say, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate it. For those who don't know, I missed a step in my house, and 245 pounds of me came crashing down on my shoulder and my hip. And I don't know, but it's caused me a tremendous pain. I saw a doctor and got it x-rayed, actually. But I appreciate your prayers. Thank you, Sue. But
well,
how can we help you? Because we only got a couple minutes.
Okay, I was going to tell you, here in sunny Florida, I've lived here my entire life. I'm 74. In February, we had about 10 days of weather that was in the 80s, and now we've already hit 88 to 90 several days for March, and I just think it's very unusual and wondered if he had any comments about that.
Great question. Thank you very much.
Yes, our weather is getting more dramatic from cold to warm, and You're mentioning going into the 80s. The flip side of that is that in the dead of winter, we have seen temperatures drop down to near the freezing level. And I'm not into the farming aspect of it, but the orange growers had
yes.
particular problems this past year because of the coolness. So it's more dramatic change from low to high and high back to low than what it was, say, 10 years ago. When you pretty much could count on similar or non-changeable weather, or it wouldn't be a dramatic change on a day-to-day basis. But, in the 80s...
Yes, the day was 27, and by the end of the day, it had reached 80. I mean, I just couldn't conceive of
wow.
that. You know, 27 in the morning and 80 degrees by the afternoon. We
That's
always
incredible.
Laugh and joke about we flip back and forth between heat and air conditioning.
That's crazy. I've never heard
it. It is.
It's wild.
Very, very unique.
Thank you for sharing that. Are we going to see more of these gyrations, if you will, Deacon? Is it a part of the changing climate right now? Is this going to be the new norm?
I really think it is. We've had conversations in the past, and I would have said, nah, probably not.
Right.
But after looking at this year after year after year, I believe we will have more dramatic changes from hot to cold, from dry to wet, and it'll be noticed a lot more.
No doubt about that. It's strange. We have time for another call. Let me sneak another one in here. We will go. Sue, thank you for your call and especially for your prayers. Can't tell you how grateful I am for those. Marie in Moline, Illinois. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. I was just wondering, in my area, I'm in the Midwest, and we see every single day for a long time, although we just ignore it now. But first you're wondering, how come those planes are up there with all that smoke going out on them, and what are they doing? And maybe they're skydiving, at first we thought. But now there's every single day, every single night. And we thought, well, that's probably why we're having such bad weather, because they're up there doing something to change the weather. And,
I'm sorry,
And I was just wondering, if that was a good thing or a bad thing, and because we are in a geographic between the two rivers, Mississippi and the Rock River, maybe.
Gotcha. Well, I only have a minute left, so I didn't mean to cut you off, Marie. I just want to give the Deacon the final thoughts here. Deacon, I'll let you respond to that. And again, thank you for being with us.
In the Quad Cities, where she's from, Rock Island, Moline, that area, Bettendorf, kind of a crossroads of Mid-America, and you're going to see with increased airplane traffic, an increase in the controls, but I don't believe that affects the weather down at the surface. But that's my opinion.
All right, so we'll monitor. Maybe I'll do a show on these chemtrails for you, Marie, and everyone else. Seems a lot of interest here. Deacon, thank you. Enjoy sunny Hawaii. All right, and
I certainly will.
Safe travels back. All right, we'll talk soon.
I'll be back in my home parish by Holy Week.
All right. Well, we're lucky to have you. And we're lucky to have you here today, too. We appreciate it. I'm out of time for the day. I want to thank the Deacon. I want to thank you for allowing me to be part of your afternoon. Of course, I'll be back in 21 hours to give you another look at life you won't find anywhere else. Be sure and join me on the Pacific time zone, noon to 3, 2 to 5 in the Central time zone. Of course, 3 to 6 in the Eastern. And tell others, I'll be praying for you. Appreciate your prayers. Have a great day.